For the last 500 years or so, the Christian gospel, and I mean by that a brand of Christianity which is broadly recognized in the world, the Christian gospel has gone something like this. Jesus Christ came to forgive your sins so that you can escape the condemnation to hell and go to heaven. That's the gist. Am I being fair? I think that's the gist of at least Protestant Christianity. Basically, the question is, how do you go to heaven? How do you get to heaven? And if you're an evangelical, then that is the heart of the good news, I think, that you're bringing to the world. Of course, it's based on a couple of errors that you catch right off hand. Obviously, number one, there's no ever-burning hell to which you are condemned. And second, you are not an immortal soul trapped in a body. So you're not salvation, that is not going to be to go to heaven as soon as you die. Those things, I know, you're well aware of those. But to take those two corrections out of their gospel, they're still left with a viewpoint that is not quite the biblical viewpoint, doesn't quite come up to the biblical viewpoint. I'm going to quote from a website from a Protestant church. It happens to be in the Twin Cities. It could be any Protestant church. And their question is, so, how do you get to heaven? That's the big question. How do you get to heaven? Acknowledge that your sin separates you from God. Sin leaves you lost. Believe that God loves you and sent his only son to die on the cross to save you. God gave his only son as a sacrifice to cover all your sin. And the conclusion from this, however, is once you let God's love find you and save you, nothing can take it away. Your hope is secure in Jesus' finished work on the cross. Forgiveness, that kind of forgiveness then, is everything. It is the gospel to them. To them, the world, I think, is a courtroom. Is it not? It's a courtroom. And the innocent verdict that you get from Jesus Christ is everything. And is that what Christianity is all about? We have to be careful, I think. We have to be careful not to fall into accepting that as the gospel. Christianity is not a courtroom. That is not the way the Bible pictures what's going on here in the world. Accepting forgiveness is not the same thing as obedience to the faith of Jesus Christ. We need to avoid that basic viewpoint that salvation is the outcome of a courtroom trial. Now, I'm aware that what I'm saying here is somewhat, has the ring of heresy. Thankfully, our hosts in this Protestant building are not listening, I hope, because to them, what I'm saying is heresy. I think I'm countering the very gist of the Protestant religion as I see it. I'm picking on the Protestant form of Christianity today as opposed to the Catholics or the Orthodox who see things a little differently. But my own background is Protestant. I was confirmed into a Protestant denomination. And what we hear around us preached as the Christian gospel is that mainly that point of view. It's widely publicized as Christianity. It is the Protestant world also which most vehemently opposes the message of the Church of God. It is the viewpoint that invaded the Church of God some 30 years ago and led many out of the faith. And I think this viewpoint, this understanding of forgiveness, goes to the core of the difference between the Protestant idea of salvation and the Bible. To them, as I said, forgiveness of sins is everything. They view the world as a courtroom. God is the judge, and all the world stands condemned to the death penalty. And this is the Protestant view. Catholics and Orthodox view it a little differently. But to view Christianity through this lens, that's what's going on here, I think is as much of a mistake as their ideas about heaven and hell. I think that is the core of why Protestants arrive at the by faith alone doctrine. Not that God is not going to judge us. He is the judge who will ultimately judge every one of us. But the idea that salvation is being a courtroom decision right now, and forever, guilty or innocent, is not a biblical idea. And in this view, we stand before a judge condemned to hell in their idea. And the only way to get to heaven is to appeal to Jesus' sacrifice. Only he can take away the condemnation. Therefore, doing something, changing your behavior, is like a heresy to them. It is denying the sacrifice of Christ. It's saying that Christ's sacrifice is insufficient to give you that innocent verdict. And that is the lens through which Protestants view the Bible. So to say anything that is needed beyond forgiveness is heresy. My title today is Beyond Forgiveness. That title alone, I think, would be heresy in a Protestant church. Now, there is more to Christianity than forgiveness, hence my title. More to the faith of Christ than forgiveness. Perhaps that sounds maybe a little disrespectful or unappreciative on my part of forgiveness, but I assure you that I'm not minimizing the importance of Jesus' sacrificial death. Vitally important that we be reconciled to God. As Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 59, verse 2, I'm not going to have you turn there, I'll just quote that snippet. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. And basically all the world has chosen to go its way and turned away from God in that way. He will not hear them until we turn around and ask for forgiveness. We have to ask for forgiveness. And we have access to the attention of God through Jesus Christ. He is indeed presenting his own death as our sacrifice for reconciliation. No one would deny that, right? It's fundamental. But notice a couple things. First of all, forgiveness itself is not new. God has always forgiven men. And he always stands ready to forgive us when we repent. Just, if you want to verify that, you've got a concordance, just look up the words forgiveness or pardon. For example, in Leviticus 6:3, Moses wrote, "And the priest will make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it will be forgiven him for anything that he has done." David said in the Psalms 25:18, "Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins." He expected God to forgive him. Solomon prayed in 1 Kings 8:30 at the dedication of the temple, "Hearken to the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they shall pray towards this place and hear in heaven your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive." Or God speaking to us through Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah 36:3. "It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil that I have purposed to do to them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." And many, many more. Right. Many, many more. Just use your concordance. It's not new. God forgives. He always has forgiven. But forgiveness definitely is different since Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's different. First of all, it is a living way, right? Hebrews 10, verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." It is a new way to forgiveness. You don't have to go to Jerusalem, to a temple, to a Levitical priest, through a ritual or an animal sacrifice. All that is done away, is replaced by one sacrifice for all time. So forgiveness is different. And forgiveness also, since Jesus Christ's sacrifice, is universal. It's universal. There was a period of time, certainly, about a quarter of human history in which access to God was only given to one nation, Israel. And if you were in Israel, you could come to the temple and make an offering for forgiveness. The rest of the world, outside. I mean, remember what Paul says to the Ephesians, Ephesians 2:12, that they were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And now there is no such distinction. Right? Anyone who will can come and be forgiven. And so we recognize forgiveness as a vital step, but the point is that Jesus Christ made forgiveness different and universal. Forgiveness, however, is not enough. Hence my title. Forgiveness is not enough. It wasn't enough for Israel, was it? It didn't fix their problem. Israel had access to the throne of grace through the old procedure, but they didn't do it. Remember Jesus Christ coming to Jerusalem in, this is Matthew 23:37, Jesus says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens and her under her wings, and you would not." You would not. That's the problem, isn't it? Israel would not be forgiven, not because they couldn't be, but because they didn't want to be. The forgiveness that was offered to Israel did not change their hearts. That is the failure of the Old Testament. That is the lesson of the Old Testament. Which brings us to tonight and tomorrow, Pentecost. That's the old mind. The mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God. The problem is us, and the fix is in us. God is not the problem. That's what tomorrow is all about, right? God is not bringing many sons to glory who have just been forgiven. But he also works in us to will and to do his good pleasure. We'll cover all this in Pentecost. He works in us. He's rearing us as a father should rear his children. And that's the viewpoint that we ought to be taking instead of this Protestant viewpoint. God is a father who offers a family relationship. He forgives us as a father would also forgive his children. God is love. He's always been on mankind's side. From the beginning, we know that we're made in God's image from Genesis chapter 1. We know that he is bringing many sons to glory from Hebrews chapter 2. God is not a condemning judge, and Jesus Christ, the lawyer who gets us off. That's just not the biblical story. There is something beyond forgiveness. There is more to the plan, just as there are other holy days after the Passover, starting tomorrow, for example. Jesus is not only the sacrifice of reconciliation. He certainly is, but he's more than that. He is the door to eternal life, isn't he? He's the template of the new man, the new Adam, and the new creation. We're to walk in his steps. So that viewpoint that Christ came to acquit you from being sentenced by an angry God, that's a lens through which we should not view the Bible. The idea of believe that Jesus forgives all your sins and you will go to heaven is an incomplete idea, even if you correct the side issue about heaven and hell. You're still left with the idea that forgiveness is a completed work, an innocent verdict. But God is not a judge. He's certainly not a hanging judge. Now, he is a father. And we will go beyond forgiveness as we go on to the fulfillment of the day of Pentecost.